Welcome to the Diplomats podcast on Asian geopolitics. I'm Ankit Panda from New York, and today I'm joined here by Shannon Tiezzi, who's the Diplomats editor and blogger on all things China. And Shannon's here with me today to help us understand the ramifications of a recent court sentencing in China involving a prominent Uyghur scholar and activist, Ilham Toti. As Diplomat readers may be aware, Toti was a very prominent Uyghur scholar who was very outspoken about Uyghur rights on the internet. He maintained a website that was called UyghurBiz.net. And on Tuesday, a Chinese court in Urumqi, the capital of Xinjiang province in China's in Western China, sentenced Toti to life in prison. And this decision has several interesting ramifications, not least for the rights of Uyghurs living within China, but also for China's internet policy, China's relations with the United States, specifically cooperation on counterterrorism. Anyway, Shannon, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Sure, it's my pleasure, Ankit.
So can you just help us understand, Shannon, how predictable it was that Toti would be sentenced to life? From what I understand, this seems to be an unusually harsh sentence.
Yes, it definitely is. And even going back further than that, it's sort of unpredictable that Toti was even arrested in the first place. And he was considered by a lot of people to be fairly safe. He held an official position teaching at a university in Beijing. He seems to be more or less tolerated by the government. He never tried to hide his outspokenness about promoting the Uyghur cause and the understanding of the Uyghur ethnicity. So a lot of people just assumed that he wasn't doing anything different than he'd done before, so he's safe. But apparently the Beijing government wanted to take a drastic step in response to growing Uyghur unrest in the Xinjiang province, which has unfortunately included some major terrorist attacks, the most recent of which took place on Sunday, and we're now hearing reports that 50 people were killed in that attack. So Beijing seems to have wanted to send a strong signal that even a moderate scholar like Toti can be sentenced to life in prison on charges of separatism. And that sends an extremely strong message to any other Uyghurs who might be thinking about following in Toti's footsteps, much less going further and actually vocally calling for Xinjiang independence.
Right. And just to clarify for listeners, the charges that are being that were leveled against Toti were primarily based on separatism, but also he was charged with inciting ethnic hatred by distorting the causes of a number of riots and disputes that occurred in Xinjiang and Beijing. Essentially, that he tended to blame Beijing's policy towards Xinjiang and the Uyghurs more than the Uyghur separatists themselves is what the perception of at least the Xinhua report that I'm quoting here seems to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, China is very sensitive about ethnic harmony. They always have been, but particularly with what we're seeing with these terrorist attacks and other weak incidents of Uyghur unrest dating all the way back to the Urumqi riots in 2009, Beijing very much wants to paint a picture of harmony and accord and friendship even between its ethnic groups, particularly the majority Han group, and the Uyghurs. So whenever you have an incident, whether a full-fledged terrorist attack or simply riots or protests that turn violent, Beijing blames a handful of bad eggs, more or less. And it always says these people have been influenced by foreign factors, generally religious extremist materials that they accessed on the internet. That seems to be the main culprit. And it says that these foreign factors influenced a few Uyghurs to then protest and so sees an ethnic discord between the Uyghur and the Han. But Beijing denies that there's any larger widespread mass discontent among the Uyghurs and that there's any sort of discord in the Uyghur-Han relationship. And that is something that most Western scholars and also Toti himself were kind of calling China out on, that no, there is a more serious ethnic and problem going on here that really needs to be addressed and dealt with in substantial ways and not simply glossed over. And Beijing apparently didn't want to hear this to the extent that they were willing to sentence Toti to life in prison in part for his role in pointing this out.
Right. And it seems like the tragedy here is that it seems like this will likely be effective in having a chilling effect on moderate Uyghurs like Toti that would want to speak out against the government. I mean, unless they're willing to risk everything like Toti just experienced. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely a concern. Wang Lixiong, who is a fairly outspoken Chinese intellectual, has called Ilham Toti China's Nelson Mandela on Twitter. And he has also said that the sentencing of Toti sends a clear signal that Beijing is just not interested in hearing the voices of moderate Uyghurs, that Beijing doesn't want to hear what they have to say, doesn't want to listen to them, it wants to get rid of them. And in Wang's opinion, it wants to do so that it can completely attribute any unrest in Xinjiang to terrorists. It basically wants to divide the Uyghurs up into two halves, you know, the good half, which are get along great with the Han majority, and the bad half, which are terrorists. And Toti didn't really fit into either of those categories. Apparently, they had to choose one for him, and they chose the category of extremist separatists, which, in a strange way, I think is going to encourage more extremism among the Uyghurs because they see that there's no point in being a moderate like Toti. You're just going to be arrested, sentenced to life in prison anyway. So you might as well become more vocal and more outspoken in your criticisms of the Beijing regime.
Right. I mean, this will certainly be a milestone in the Uyghur movement for additional human rights. You've mentioned the internet a lot in this discussion, and I think what this case also represents is an example of a blogger within China being sentenced to life for opinions that he dared to share online. Now, this seems to have a broader effect too on Chinese society. Where do you think this is going? What do you think the president will be for this case, set by this case for free speech on the Chinese internet, which is already, as we know, not really something that China's netizens take for granted?
Right. I think this is a very interesting and fairly overlooked aspect of this case, is not only that Toti was sentenced to life in prison for being an outspoken moderate Uyghur, but that he was specifically sentenced for being outspoken online. And David Wertheim over at the Tea Leaf Nation blog on foreign policy had a great article really parsing this and how it fits with the general trend of tighter and tighter restrictions on what you can and can't say online. In addition to the charges of inciting ethnic hatred, a major part of the case against Toti was that he was seeking to, quote, internationalize the tensions in Xinjiang, which basically meant because he was posting and writing about these issues and accepting posts from guest authors about these issues and putting it online, that he was seeking to sow seeds of discord that then, you know, the West and other international forces could use as a weapon against China. And that's very important because it sets a dangerous precedent. His website was in Chinese. It's not like he was writing in English. It was in Chinese. Basically, any website in China then could be considered to be internationalizing various issues because the internet, just by default, is accessible to everyone around the world. So when scholars and researchers from other countries look at Chinese websites that may be critical of the regime, those people who operate those websites, whether or not that they knew that foreigners were using their words in their research, can now be guilty of internationalizing problems within China's domestic sphere.
Right. I mean, I think the great irony of that is that just with the entire Toti saga, I think the most he rose to prominence in the West was, first when he got arrested earlier this year, and then again with the sentencing. I mean, he's just seen widespread coverage in the West, and there's been a lot of condemnation from human rights groups and the likes. And that's clearly a response to Beijing's actions here, and the court sentencing more so than Toti's actual posts on UyghurBiz.net.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, again, if you want to look at this as part of a greater trend, something that extends beyond Beijing's treatment of Uyghurs, there has been a definite uptick in Beijing's willingness to go after these sort of moderate liberal thinkers that it had previously tolerated. And the other great example of that is Xu Jiyang, who was detained earlier this year for speaking out about the importance of constitutionalism, the importance of the CCP living up to the promises made in the Chinese constitution. That wasn't previously considered an especially radical idea, because it's basically saying that the party should, you know, accommodate a document that the party has already signed off on. But as soon after Xi Jinping came to power, Xu Zhiyang was detained as part of a larger movement against these moderate liberal intellectuals. So it's not just the moderate space for Uyghurs that is rapidly shrinking. It's the moderate space for political discussion in China as a whole that's being targeted by the current regime.
Right, and that's obviously a very dangerous trend, since it might result in the other set of voices that will be tolerated then will be increasingly more nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Just to conclude this podcast, I wanted to ask you about your piece that you wrote today, actually, about U.S.-China relations, particularly focusing on counterterrorism. In that piece, you talk about Toadie's case, citing it as an example of China's conflation of dissent and terrorism. And that's a key factor in U.S. and China relations, because both countries have a different understanding of what constitutes terrorism and what constitutes acceptable and democratic dissent. That's obviously the United States, which sees activists like Toadie obviously not as terrorists, more as dissenters that should be tolerated within the political system. Could you talk a bit about how this case is going to affect the counterterrorism cooperation dynamic between the U.S. and China?
Sure. So this has been a problem for years, the fact that the U.S. believes Beijing does not draw a line between peaceful dissent and terrorism. And this is also reflected in the media reports that come out about various incidents in Xinjiang. There's not much journalistic access to these areas. You basically have two sources of information. You have the official Chinese news state-approved media outlets, and then you have Uyghur rights groups, like the World Uyghur Congress and, you know, Radio Free Asia and other groups that have links to Uyghurs on the ground. And generally, their stories don't match up. You know, occasionally Beijing will say, there was a terrorist attack in Xinjiang. The police forces killed a group of, you know, a couple dozen terrorists. And that's the end of the story. Whereas these other sources will say this was a peaceful protest and Beijing just opened fire on these protesters. Right. And is now labeling them as terrorists. So this has always been a problem, a lack of transparency on Beijing's part, where that makes people question, is this really terrorism or are these peaceful protesters? And that has always made Beijing very angry. They complain about a double standard regarding terrorism, that the world doesn't recognize the terrorism that China is suffering from is on the same level as terrorism in the rest of the world. But at the same time, they're not doing themselves any favors when they sentence a moderate scholar like Inyam Toti to life in prison, and they try to link that to the global effort to fight against Islamic State, which is what I was talking about in my piece. There's a strange op-ed in Xinhua that was basically chewing out Western commenters for decrying Toti's prosecution and sentencing. And they said, you know, if the U.S. can bomb Islamic State, then we should be able to jail Inyam Toti, and the world should celebrate that as a victory in the battle against extremism, separatism, and terrorism. And that is a very extreme example of the conflation between terrorism as defined by the most of the world and what other countries such as the U.S. would see as peaceful dissent.
Right.
And it's problematic.
Yeah, that's also slightly complicated by the U.S. reaction when there is actually, you know, a bold-faced terrorist attack in China, like when a car bomb goes off in a Xinjiang market. That's clearly been conducted by terrorists by any definition of the word. The United States is usually hesitant about directly referring to that as terrorism, particularly because I think, you know, I mean, obviously that is in part conditioned by China's position here, which you clearly describe, is that if the United States does that, then that might lead to a misunderstanding where Beijing thinks that the U.S. has finally accepted that Xinjiang separatists in all forms, moderate or extremists, are all terrorists, which is obviously something the U.S. doesn't want to signal either. So it's definitely a very complicated situation with competing perceptions here.
Yes, and you know, on a sort of legalistic level, the U.S. also is not convinced by China's claims that most of the terrorist attacks occurring on Chinese soil are being carried out by an organized terror group, generally identified as either the East Turkestan Islamic Movement, EITM, or the Turkestan Islamic Party. Sometimes the U.S. government is not convinced by China's evidence and tends to think of this as just kind of a single rogue actor as opposed to part of an organized terrorist plot by an international group. And that's another place where Beijing and the U.S. disagree. And again, it goes back to Beijing not wanting to admit that there are just regular Uyghurs who might be so disaffected that they're willing to kind of go to the dark side and become terrorists. Instead, Beijing wants to see everything that's happening with Uyghur terrorism as stemming from this nefarious foreign source of religious extremists.
Right, right. Anyways, Shannon, thanks a lot for joining me today and helping us understand this case and Toti's sentencing a little better.
Sure, glad to be here.
Thanks. We'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening.